I'm thankful that you're here today. This is a special day for us. I have been touched by the words that have been shared this morning. And the church is here. The church is here for moments like these, isn't it? And the church is here for you. If you are like the many hands that went up at the beginning of the service this morning, as Justin brought our attention and guided our thoughts, and as we've lifted up prayers, as Lynn has led us, in these thoughts this morning, I feel like the Spirit is certainly moving our hearts to be very much aware that the church has a relevant cause and call and mission, and Jesus is needed today as much as any day or any time in our lives. And I pray that this is a time that the church will be able to shine. We have some of my own family is here today in worship. If there's a blessing to the difficult side of having to evacuate your home, they're able to come hear their son preach this morning. So thankful for that. I did have one image. Lynn shared a couple of different images, and I wanted to share one image. Probably several of you saw this image. You know, there's something that is really incredible about this, and I just picked this one to show because on this image you can see the devastation of this terrible flooding and the terrible rain and vulnerability. You have mothers, you have babies, you have elderly, and then you have rescue. And I know that we will not hear all the stories that emerge from these days. But I am telling you, as we've been sharing this, God is at work. God is at work. And He's using regular folk, isn't He? He's using great servants. He is using public servants. He is using volunteers. I cannot believe that Lynn Luttrell did not mention the Cajun Navy. Who would have ever thought we would have heard of the Cajun Navy? But groups of people who have boats, and so they were just getting out, just helping people. They felt moved. I don't know where everyone's at with their relationship with God, but I know what God is doing, don't you? I don't know where they all stand with God, but I know what God is doing. I know how God is pushing and knocking on hearts. And we've had another flood and another storm that's been going on in our nation for months now. We've had the storm and the flooding of violence in cities and in communities, and of division and of hatred, as we've talked about for some weeks now. We've seen those images on the news so much. And it is at these turbulent times. I know you feel it because I feel it too. That we are living in this time of a sense of urgency in our nation, and God's people are needing to respond. And I think that's a good thing that we see that. And I'm thankful. Thankful for monetary gifts. I'm thankful for those who are planning to, once as we learn more things, we're kind of learning as we go. How can God use us? What can we do? How can we be His hands and feet? Would you bow with me? God, once more we come to You this morning for all the needs and all the shaking and all the ways that our faith may be rattled and our nation has been rattled by not only the natural disasters, Father, but also just the tension in our country, Lord. God, awaken us all to see that there is a refuge that a home cannot provide. A greater shelter. God, we thank You that You've sent Your Son, our Savior. God, the healing that hearts are needing and that our nation and the land is needing must come from a higher power, greater than ourselves. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for calling us and leading us and moving hearts. And when you call us, Lord, help us to be ready to answer and to live for Jesus, Lord. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. We've been very fortunate in Abilene. We did have a light show last night, did we not? I was at a football game last night. Some of you were there as well at Shotwell, and we were watching as lightning bolts were dancing all around us until the game was, or at least it was postponed for a good while, and we all left the stadium. And we came back to the house. I mentioned to you I have family that's here that's evacuated. My parents are here, my sister and brother-in-law and their children. And my sister's youngest daughter, Mariah, Micah made the statement. Micah, who's 15, said about the thunderstorms last night, about the lightning last night. He said, "Oh, I love this kind of weather. I love the storms. They make me want to go sleep." Some of you are like that. Does a storm ever make you want to go sleep? My youngest niece does not feel that way. She said, "Well, that's real nice. And whenever you go to sleep, maybe when you wake up in the morning, you'll wake up in heaven." She had a few more words. She said, "Unless you've been a bad boy, then you'll be in the other place." We have a God who has called us to a kingdom that is not shaken by any storms. We are going to spend some time together, camping out together with God and His Word in what may be Jesus' greatest teaching, certainly some of His most influential and most impactful teaching, and that is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be spending this time together. And we're going to be lifting up this prayer together, and it seems very appropriate with everything that's going on right now, the context of our nation, the context of things going on in South Texas, that we pray together, "Lord, let your kingdom come." And we're going to be focusing on that for a good while. And I want to encourage you to get into the Sermon on the Mount. If you're familiar with it, many of you, you've read through it and you've studied it many times. I want to encourage you to dedicate this passage of Scripture, Matthew 5 through 7, to memory. Try to memorize. And the reason why I say that is because you are going to have something. You know, we know about what's going on right now in parts of Texas and parts of Louisiana, and we've seen what the storm is doing. We don't know what's going on inside of everybody's life right now, but we know that emotional storms and spiritual storms and battling with temptation is going on. Where's your refuge and where are you running to in those moments? I love the great quote from Dr. King, who said about 50 years ago, "Where do we go from here? Chaos or community?" I think this really does fit as a backdrop for Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with this text, and I'll read these words to you again from Matthew 5, 1 and 2 as Jesus makes His ascent up the mountain. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and He sat down, and His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them." There's a background to this story, though. You see, when Jesus saw the crowds is the opening statement there for Matthew 5. And if we read a little bit further back, I want you to notice all the way back to verse 23 here. We'll put these verses on the screen for you. Matthew 5, 23. Read along with me in this text. "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed Him. And then we have these words. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went on a mountainside and He sat down. And His disciples came to Him. And He began to teach them. You know, there were so many different people. You had a mixture of those whose Jesus' teaching would impact here. You have those fishermen that Jesus went to whenever He tells us, you know, Matthew tells us in 4:17 that Jesus began to preach this sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And then He goes and He finds some fishermen along the way, Peter and Andrew, and there they are doing their job. They're at work. They're fishermen. And Jesus says to him, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," or fishers of people. And Jesus, they drop their nets and they come and follow Jesus. And likewise, He comes and finds Zebedee and his two sons, James and John, and they also have their fishing nets in their hands. And when Jesus calls them, they drop their nets and they follow Him. And they're with Jesus as Jesus is going from village to village and town to town here, and He's healing all of these who are sick. He's seeing the crowds, and there in the crowds are people who are suffering in all kinds of ways. Just like you've spent time this week seeing and hearing the news of the suffering that's going on in South Texas. And you've seen people who've lost homes. You've seen people who are sick. You imagine and you can see and feel for those people who are in the crowds as Jesus is going to them. You can imagine what they felt whenever they heard about the healer or the prophet who was amongst them. And one village would hear about what happened over there, and the neighboring village would get excited. "Here He comes. You've heard about this man who's been able to cure those who are sick. You've heard about this man who's been able to cast out those who have been possessed with demons. You've heard about this man who's got a message of hope for the people." And it's actually a message that harkens back to the imagery and the leadership of Moses. We had those words read for us earlier this morning, but in Exodus 19, we have that scene of Moses ascending the mountain and God giving him a message to take to the people. And it was that they would be out of all the earth, which is God's possession, that Israel would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And in chapter 20, God would give Moses the Ten Commandments. But we have that image that whenever Moses goes up on the mountaintop, the revelation of God comes. God comes and He brings His Word. He brings His Word for deliverance to the people. He brings His Word to bring about a community and a kingdom and hope in life for the vulnerable, for those who are suffering, for those who can be abused in society and in our world. But you know, Moses' story doesn't really end well, does it? That generation that was called to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, virtually all of that generation that was preached that sermon from Moses and that was given the message from the mountain, their hearts were not moved to faith. And virtually none of them were able to enter in God's plan and God's promised land for the people that were delivered from Egypt. Jesus sees the crowds, and when He sees the crowds, He comes up on the mountain. And revelation is going to come to the people. And a message for a beloved community. A mixture of people. Some of them on the fringe of society. Some of them on the fringe of belief and doubt. Some of them who've been brought inside and have been called and will be led to be apostles and teachers. All of them beloved by God. All of them made for the purpose of experiencing the kingdom of God. Do we have many that have gone on any mountain hiking trips before? You know that it can be hard, can it? I was fortunate many years ago. I got to go on a high school trip. My mother was able to go with us as well. A group of about 25 to 30 of us were able to make a trip. We went hiking in Colorado. We went hiking in Utah. And our ultimate destination was hiking in Yellowstone, which was absolutely breathtaking. But to be able to go there, and the whole purpose is to go through this experience that when you go from the bottom to the top, what you're longing for is to find something, to experience and see something that you can't see from the down below. And really, this isn't truly a mountain that Jesus and the disciples and the crowds are going up here. It's more like a Texas hill we might compare it to, right? But it's a mountain when we talk about the meaning behind it. The need for us to go up and have a vision from the top. The need for us to be able to withdraw and find ourselves away from distractions. How many of us find it harder and harder, even whenever we come to church, or even whenever we retreat away from you know, different distractions that we have, that even when we're there, it's hard to actually be there? Do you know what I mean? We have so many other things that are captivating us. We have our phones, we have our electronics, we live in a 24/7 culture, and it's very hard to actually withdraw and just be with God and just hear His Word and just to be able to do that in community. Even to be here on Sunday so many times, it's a struggle for us to just show up, and then if we can engage for just a few moments, to be undistracted, to be able to listen in and hear God speak. It almost feels impossible at times. And then we have the message of the Sermon on the Mount itself that is so radical, so out of this world, that at times you might hear things like Jesus teaching on lust in Matthew 5:27-30, when he says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But Jesus says, but I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And we may come across that passage and go, who can follow this? Or later in that same chapter, towards the end of that chapter, we hear Jesus teaching on loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. And we may think to ourselves when we come across passages like that, and we may go, you know, I came up here on the mountain. I came here to find out a message. I wanted a message that Jesus would have for me. I wanted Him to give me a stirring of hope here in my life. I wanted something that would help me to be able to make practical steps towards being in closer relationship with Him. But some of those teachings can feel so out of reach. Almost impossible. Sometimes people will read the Sermon on the Mount and they become discouraged. Jesus is asking too much. Maybe this isn't meant to be something that we actually do. Maybe this is just Jesus telling us what heaven will be like. But I think instead what Jesus is calling His, wherever someone's at, the invitation to those who are in the crowd, the invitation to His disciples within that inner fellowship, is to life that is actualized in Jesus. Moses was a great teacher, but he was not a perfect man. In Jesus, we don't just have a great sermon. We have the Son of God. And we have the person who's able to lead us there. You see, Matthew is the one who also tells us the great Christmas story, right? Where we think about it at Christmas. Matthew reaches in Isaiah and he uses this name concerning the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel. God is with us. You see, if God is going to be with us in our camp, in our community, in our fellowship, then suddenly those things that seem nearly impossible or very hard, like the hard things that you're facing in your life right now, they are not out of reach if Jesus is there. Nothing. No person. The things that seem impossible when we start to go in there with Jesus beside us, suddenly we're able to see them realized and actualized. And that at the core of Jesus' sermon here, what we see is that heart work, where Jesus is going with this, heart work is hard work, isn't it? But it's not impossible. Because we have a Savior who's able to move there. And so this is where Jesus sets camp. The base is at your heart. The message isn't just aimed at your ears. It's aimed at the inner part of yourself. And that's where Jesus goes to work here. But to be able to begin a journey like this, you may be telling yourself, well, I have good intentions, and if this is about human will and determinism, I want to go ahead and tell you, we're going to fail. If this is about how good you can be, if this is an idea of looking at the Sermon on the Mount and looking at these words and these teachings of Jesus and trying to weigh your life against it, you're not going to be able to measure up in that way, and that's not the way that it's intended here. Instead, we look at Jesus and we come up on the mountain with Him here, and we see a vision that He casts here in His own life. And it's from this mountain peak view that we can begin to see the very core of Jesus' teaching. But it has to be experienced, not just spoken about. I was fortunate this summer, and I've mentioned before how much I was impacted by getting to go on the medical mission to Zambia, the Zambia Medical Mission. And I have to tell you that when you hear about these missionary journeys, you can hear about them and we'll have more reports about them, but I'm telling you that a lot of these things just have to be experienced, right? It's kind of like parenthood. You know, before you had your first child and you did everything to try to get ready for it, and maybe you went to all the classes and you had all the instructions, and now you can go onto all the websites, I guess. There's an app for that, I'm sure, right? How to be a parent, how to get ready for having your first child. But guess what? At the end of the day, you're just going to have to experience it, aren't you? There's a lot of truth to that as well whenever we talk about the message of Jesus and the vision of the kingdom. You see, I can stand up here, or anyone can stand up here and talk to you about the kingdom of God. But until your heart has been touched by the love of God, you won't fully be able to see it as a possibility. Your life has to be touched. I'm thankful that we have a community here, and I believe and I know that God is reaching out. I don't know who all He's using, but He's using people right here to impact people's lives so that what they're experiencing is not just human-to-human contact, but the heart-to-heart contact of Jesus Christ and His love. And that's how the kingdom transforms lives. And that's how the vision of Jesus Christ is spread here. And that's how these words of Jesus are no longer just words, but in actuality, as lives are transformed And we become the beloved community founded on our Savior, Jesus Christ. Where do we go from here? Chaos or community? Jesus is calling us to be the beloved community. Jesus is calling us to pray the prayer, "Let your kingdom come," by beginning in your heart, in your life, today. In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for response time, and it may be that in your life, in your heart, there's a need to repent. There's a need to make a change. There's a need to reach out. Maybe today is a day where you start to make that step or that decision. We'll have people up here, some elders that are up here in just a moment who will be ready to receive you. If you've yet to put your faith in Jesus Christ, be united with Him in baptism to start your new life, to become a part of this community, a part of the family of God. Our prayer for you this morning is to let His kingdom come. Let's stand now as we together sing.